Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's Christmas again, eh? Isn't that awesome? It comes round every year, doesn't it? Comes round and surprises you every year. I want to read some verses, first of all, from Luke chapter 2, verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room at the inn. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord... That night there were shepherds staying in the flocks nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news." Say, good news. I bring you good news that will bring great joy. Say, great joy. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." That's the way we commonly hear it, but in many other translations it actually says, "Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." According to Hebrews 11:6, there's only one way to please him, and that's by faith. That's by believing that he is who he says he is. Those who come to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who go looking for him. I tell you, he's looking for you. If you're looking for him, you cannot miss each other. Because he's already looking for you. So if you're looking for him, you're going to run into each other. Amen? Hallelujah. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So the title of this message this morning is Good News for Shepherds. You know, the Holy Spirit has been showing me something over the last few days, that something I'd never really thought of before. And I've realized that the reason Jesus was born in a stable is that the shepherds wouldn't have been allowed into the inn. No doubt some snotty-nosed, aggressively belligerent doorman would probably have turned them away because they smelled of sheep. These guys spent a lot of nights under the stars. They probably would have looked a bit like a homeless person. You know how welcome they'd be in the local Holiday Inn. You see, the kings from the east, they went knocking at the door of the palace. They went round by Herod's palace. They thought, well, if there's going to be a king born, surely he'll be born in a palace. They just naturally assumed that a king, he'll be born in a palace. So they went knocking on the door of Herod's palace. And because they themselves were kings, they were given an audience with King Herod. I've got a message for you this morning. It's good news for shepherds. God isn't looking for more kings. He's looking for more shepherds. And I also realized as I meditated, did you hear that? Is that good news or what? As I was meditating this, I also realized that there's actually one only occupation that God identifies himself with. Yahweh Rui, the Lord is my shepherd. The only occupation he identifies himself with in his, through his covenant name is that of a shepherd. I have to say that that must dignify the role of a shepherd as the most noble of all occupations. See, most of us, we want to be kings, but we were actually created to be shepherds. And I'll clarify that statement in a minute before some of you are in there already arguing with me in your head. All the arguments are in your head, isn't it? See, God said something. God said that he would put someone on the throne of David forever. Jesus is actually called the son of David. David was the shepherd king. He reigned like a shepherd. Because before he was ever a king, he was a shepherd. And he reigned like a shepherd. See, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. You know, David's reign has actually been called the golden age of Israel. Why? Because under David's reign, the people were best protected, they were best provided for, judgment and justice were administered righteously and mercifully during his reign, more than under the reign of any other king. I believe there has to be a powerful statement in the fact that the first people to hear the announcement of the birth of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the first people to be granted an audience with the newborn king, were shepherds. Good news, folks, for all shepherds. The Lord is my shepherd. I mean, you've got to believe it, folks. I mean, come on now, the shepherds would have taken that, would have taken personal ownership of Psalm 23. Amen? You have to believe that they were the ones who could truly identify with its message more than anybody else. And these shepherds on the hillside that night, they were the first to receive the good news that Jesus, the good shepherd, has come. John 10 just said, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. It's like the Lord was saying to these shepherds, you've been believing the Lord is my shepherd for years, and so I want to reward your faith. Good news of peace to all who please him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's like the Lord was saying, I want to reward your faith by inviting you to be the first to meet him in the flesh. The Lord who you've been believing is your shepherd for all of these years, I want you to be the first to meet him in the flesh. Well, he's a king, all right. In fact, he's the king of kings. But I want to tell you this morning, in case you haven't got it figured out yet, he's the shepherd king of shepherd kings. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7, for unto us a child is born. Hundreds of years before Isaiah prophesied this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform that. Hallelujah. Who knows that back in the beginning, God's role for the man that he created in his image and in his likeness, the man to whom he gave dominion in the earth, God's role for that man was to tend and to keep and to guard everything that God had created. What were these shepherds doing on the hillside that night? Guarding their flocks. That's the heart of the shepherd. To keep and to guard and to protect what they have responsibility for. Now, after sin entered the picture, that became increasingly difficult. In fact, what did Cain say to the Lord after he had killed his brother? And the Lord comes and asks him a question. He says, wait, excuse me, where's your brother? What did he say? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, I want to tell you, the only acceptable answer to that question is always yes. The only acceptable answer to that question is always, yes, you are your brother's keeper. What's it? What are we talking about this morning? Good news for shepherds. It's interesting that his brother Abel was a shepherd. I was just thinking about this yesterday. I thought, man, the very first pastor was murdered because he was righteous. I said, the very first pastor was murdered because, one reason, because he was righteous. You see, the reality, folks, is that we are here to love and to take care of each other. To tend, to keep, and to guard, and to protect one another. And the good news is that we can do this in the fullest confidence that we ourselves are unconditionally loved and taken care of. You know, just as I consider this over the last few days, you know, as a preacher, I've often said something like, God doesn't care where you've been or what you've done. No, because you're trying to encourage people to come to Him. Or I've said something like, I don't care where you've been or what you've done. You know, you can come right now. But, you know, every time I say that, it's like I get this wee nudge of conviction. This wee pull on and down into my spirit that says, maybe you shouldn't really be saying that. But it kind of sounds good, and I've probably heard a lot of people saying it. We're good at that, aren't we? You know, some of the sayings have become just like commonplace in the church. You know, I always wonder, where did it start? Who was the first guy who said that? Everybody's saying it, you know. Turn to the person next to you. I know you all love that. You know, I do it because I hate it. I hate when you're visiting a church somewhere and they say, turn around and greet the person around you, you know, and say it. And I'm like, I'm so shy. And I'm like, oh, what are you doing? I'd rather just be there, you know. I want to be there. I want to be in the house of God. I want to be with God's people. I want to receive in His presence. And, you know, and I'd like a little bit of fellowship if that's possible. But, you know what I mean? But I just can't handle that kind of stuff, you know. Joe loves it. He doesn't wait for the invitation. He just hunts them down, you know. I've been at places with Joe and he said, come, somebody wants to see you. And he drags you across that table. And then he just leaves you there. See, we're all different, aren't we? That's why we need to guard one another, protect one another. We need to be more sensitive to each other. What's this person? We need to know each other better. The good shepherd knows his sheep, all of his sheep, individually. Joe, please don't do that again. I know you always have the best intentions. It all comes out of your big heart, but please. Find somebody else. You see, the reason I believe I've experienced that nudge of conviction is because God really does care. And He does care because He has been watching over us all of our lives. And He has seen the damage, and He has seen the hurts, and He has seen the wounds, and He has seen even the hardness of heart that we have picked up along the way in the places that we have been. And the things we have done, and the situations we have encountered, and the circumstances we have had to endure. And He cares about all of these things. He never stops caring, because caring is what He does. You know, Peter actually said in one of his letters to the church, he said, we can cast all of our cares upon Him, because He cares for us. He didn't specify the type of care, just all of your cares. Whatever they originated from. You can cast all of your cares upon Him for one reason. Because He cares for you. Because He cares for us. You know, the good news is, folks, you know, there's lots of things that you get disqualified from because of your age. It's, oh, you're too young for that. Then you get another stage of life and, oh, you're too old for that. But there's one thing you're never too young for. There's one thing you're never too old for, and that's to care. You're never too young and you're never too old to start caring about other people. But who knows that caring takes its toll? And that's why every shepherd needs a shepherd. That was actually my original title for this message. Every shepherd needs a shepherd. I just feel that good news for shepherds kind of encompasses the whole story better. But every shepherd needs a shepherd. Every carer needs someone to care for them. Everyone who cares needs to know there's someone who cares for them. And that's why knowing that the Lord is my shepherd is such an awesome revelation of an even more awesome reality. A shepherd, as I said already, is the occupation that God most identified with. Because he has been watching over his people for millennia. He has always been looking to do them good. He's always been there seeking to protect them, to provide for them, even weeping over the rebellious, searching for the lost, carrying the wounded and the injured and the weak. Come on now. Matthew chapter 9 verses 35 to 36. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, when he saw the crowds of people, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered. And one of the ways that can be translated is harassed, like sheep having no shepherd. So what I just give you is a couple of two or three characteristics of a good shepherd. This was going to be a much longer message, but I've managed to condense it down, so I'm just going to give you a couple. Some characteristics of a good shepherd. Number one, a good shepherd loves his sheep. And because he loves his sheep, he develops a close and intimate relationship with them so that they begin to know his voice and they begin to trust him. I want to ask you a question this morning, because this is good news for shepherds. Do you love people unconditionally and without prejudice? Do people know that they can trust you? Do people know that you won't give up on them? I want to ask this one, do you genuinely care about others? Because if you do, I have the good news for you. You can say the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my good shepherd. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. You need to know that you are loved unconditionally and without prejudice by him. I want you to know there's someone you can trust with every part of your life who will never leave, forsake, abandon, or quit on you. I want you to know that there's someone who will not be offended by you and who will always pursue your best interests. What we're talking about this morning, folks, good news for shepherds. Maybe you'd rather hear good news for kings. Well, it's good news for shepherds this morning. Second thing is, a good shepherd often understands the needs of the sheep better than they do. He understands what threatens sheep. He understands what makes them sick. He understands all of the things that work against them. And he works tirelessly to provide protection and security and to keep sheep from fighting with each other and from hurting each other. Let me ask you this morning, do you sometimes get insights into people's lives that see beyond the surface and the superficial? Insights that don't cause you to judge them, but insights that actually release compassion in you to be more patient with them, to pray for them, that they will encounter and embrace the love of God, because that's the only real hope for changing anybody's life. Do you actively encourage others to believe and trust the Lord in all things? Do you pray protection over people? Are you a peacemaker? Do you have a longing to see? And do you work to create and maintain unity between people? Are you a bridge builder? Do you introduce people to others that you know will be a blessing to them? I apologize, Joe, I understand that's your heart. Do you seek to honor others and to find something positive to say about them when they are being maligned? Let me ask you again, do you genuinely care about others? Because if you do, I'm here with good news for you this morning. Because I'm talking about good news for shepherds. And let me just remind you, it's never too late to start caring. You're never too young and you're never too old. If you genuinely care about, I have good news for you, you can say the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my good shepherd. You have someone who knows everything about you and he loves you. He knows exactly why you are the way you are. He knows why you sometimes react the way that you react. He knows exactly why you sometimes feel the way you feel. Not what you present to others. He knows, he sees beyond all that. And I want you to know that he is faithfully and patiently praying for the activation of your faith in response to his love. That will help you to experience everything that is on his heart for you. What we're talking about this morning, good news for shepherds. There's many other characteristics that we could mention, but we don't have time here this morning to go into these things. But let me just remind us again this morning, we're never too young, we're never too old to care for others. You know, we can selflessly express and selflessly demonstrate our care for others and the sure and the certain knowledge with the perfect assurance that we can never out-care the one who cares for us. I said we can never out-care the one who cares for us. There's never a reason for us to stop caring because there's someone who always cares for us more than we could ever care for anybody else. This is good news for shepherds. This is good news for those who are committed to care, to tend, to keep, and to guard and to protect those around them and those within their sphere of influence. Now, as I was thinking about and meditating on this message, I was reminded of an article that I read recently, and I went looking for it online last night, and I found it, and this is what, let me read it to you. A pastor transformed himself into a homeless person and went to the 10,000 member church. This church had more members than Stornoway has of a population. And went to the 10,000 member church that he was to be introduced to as the head pastor that morning. As he walked around his soon-to-be church for 30 minutes, while it was filling with people for the service, only 3 people out of the 7 to 10,000 people said hello to him. He asked people for some change to buy food, but no one in the church gave him change. He went into the sanctuary, into the main body of the church, to sit down in the front, and was asked by the ushers if he would please sit in the back. He greeted people only to be greeted back with stares, dirty looks, and people looking down on him. As he sat in the back of the church, he listened to the church announcements and such. When all that was done, the elders went up and were excited to introduce the new pastor of the church to the congregation. "We would like to introduce you to our new pastor," they said. The congregation looked around, clapping with joy and anticipation, waiting for him to rise from the front row and ascend to the platform. And the homeless man sitting in the back stood up and started walking down the aisle. And the clapping stopped. And all eyes were on him. And he walked up to the front and he took the microphone from the elders. And he paused for a moment and then he started to read from Matthew 25. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Oh Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in our needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And after he finished reading, the article goes on, it says he looked towards the congregation and he told them all what he had experienced that morning. Many began to cry and many heads were bowed in shame. He then said, today I see a gathering of people, not a church of Jesus Christ. The world has enough people, but not enough disciples. I want to tell you this morning as I start, the world has enough kings, but not enough shepherds. This is good news for shepherds this morning. And then he goes on and he says, when will you decide to become disciples? He then dismissed the service until next week. Didn't bother with any other four-year-olds. Didn't let them sing happy songs or anything. Just say, that's it for this week, folks. Maybe, hopefully things will be different next week. Hopefully some hearts will be softened by next week. Maybe only 300 people will come back next week. Praise the Lord. They're all shepherds. You see, Psalm 23 is the shepherd's psalm. It's written by a shepherd from the perspective of a sheep. See, the shepherd knows everything that's in his heart in regards to his sheep, and so he acknowledges his need for someone to care for him in the same way that he cares for his sheep. And his joy is in knowing that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And the awesome thing is, this psalm ends with his assurance that where the shepherd is, he will be. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because the sheep are always where the shepherd is, and the shepherd is always where the sheep are. So these shepherds on the hillside that night, they were the first to be introduced to the Lord, their shepherd, the good shepherd. You know, every sheep longs for a good shepherd. Jesus said something, he said, I am giving you a new commandment. Love one another. Care for one another. In Galatians it says, bear one another's burdens. Carry one another's burdens. Shepherd one another. Lay down your lives for one another. And you can do all these things with the full assurance that the Lord, and his name is Jesus, is all of these things to you and so much more. You see, folks, there's still good news for shepherds. Just like there was that night on the hillside, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. Then the angel said to them, and this is echoing down to us this morning right here in Stornoway. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Can you say it this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is my good shepherd. He's the shepherd king of shepherd kings. I want to encourage you today, if your heart has become hard towards people, if you have become bitter and critical, I'm not talking about selective people. I'm talking about all people. The angel said, this is good news to all people. I want to tell you, some of that prejudice needs to get out the door. This world is chock-a-block full of prejudice. It manifests in many different ways. It manifests towards people of different colours, different religions, different everything. But he said, this is good news to all people. This is an opportunity for shepherds to rise up, those who are committed to keep and to guard and to protect and to care for others. This is good news for you. This is good news for you. You want to see this world turn around? You want to see this world rescued and delivered and set free? Well, this is the only way. Not more kings. Oh, the church is full of people who want to be the kings. Well, I tell you, their days are over. I'll make a categoric prophetic statement to you this morning. The days of kings in the church are over. The only kings you'll find in the church anymore will be first kings and second kings. In the old covenant. Oh, none of them want to be the second king either. But anyway, that's another story. Well, come on, folks. It's time to get excited. I think come here and give you a wee Christmas cuddle. Hallelujah. I came to say, wake up, church. It's our opportunity to start caring about other people. To start actually caring about people. So we don't say stuff that we're tempted to say. We don't repeat stuff that other people have said. We don't take second-hand garbage information and turn it into something. We don't care what people say about other people. We're going to say something that God says, I love you. I want to be your shepherd. I want to rescue you. I want to help you. I know it doesn't matter where you've been. I do care. I care where you've been. I know where you've been. I'm here to help you. I'm here to turn it around. Because I'm the good shepherd. I don't give up on my sheep. I'll leave the 99 and go hunting down that one that's missing. I'll make sure the 99 is well taken care of while I'm gone. But I'll search out that one that's missing and make sure it comes back. You ready as we turn over the page in a new year to let go of all of the stuff? This world's full of poison. But it's time to lance the wound. It's got to start somewhere. The church is full of poison. It's infected. It's infected by the world. It's time to turn that mess around. It's time to release that garbage. And it all starts with many people want to be kings. Kings don't even know their way. Oh, they're following the staff, yeah, sure enough, but every GPS will take you the wrong place eventually. They didn't even really know what was going on. If they'd really known, the shepherds knew. Oh, the shepherds knew. That's why they were the first ones to get a personal invitation. The wise men are just following a star. The shepherds got an invitation. Let's turn that whole thing around. Everybody wants to talk about the kings. Because you know why? Because they want you to open up your treasures and pour it all into the church. Let's all talk about the wise men, because this is what wise men do. You know, I just don't want to be none but do it. I want to be a shepherd. I want to be like my king. I want to be like my Jesus. I want to be like him. That's what I'm here to be like. I'm here to be like him. It's good news, folks. Let's stand up together. It's good news for shepherds today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not good for kings. Good news for kings. Good news for shepherds. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your precious people here today. I thank you that each one, you know each one of us intimately. Lord, you know us even better than we know ourselves. You know us even to the extent of knowing how many hairs are on our head. How awesome is that? Hallelujah. And I thank you that you care about us and you care about the situations that we've encountered and the circumstances we've endured. You care about the wounds that we've picked up along the way. You care about us so much that you provided healing for all of these things. You provided forgiveness for our sins. You provided healing for our broken bodies. You provided deliverance for our oppressed minds. Our stressed out and anxious minds. You provided everything that we would ever need. Thank you, Father. When Jesus came, our shepherd king, the good shepherd, who lays down his life for his sheep. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, you have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. And you're right there, right now, our shepherd king, at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and you're still praying for us. Amen. Praying for us that our faith will not quit, that our faith will not fail, but that it will take hold, we'll believe in your love for us and take hold of your word and your promises toward us and begin to walk them out, Lord, and begin to fill up with all of your goodness so we can overflow it into the lives of each and every person we encounter along this journey. Do it, Jesus. Father, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. If anyone here today needs to start caring, let it be today a day of turnaround. A day of receiving the Shepherd King into our hearts and beginning to learn from him. He said, come, learn from me. I'll show you how it's done. I'll show you how to care for others. Help us, Father, as we move forward into a new year. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.